In the name of the one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So for a few Sundays in Lent this year, I'm taking my text not from the scriptures, as one might suppose, but from some rather well-known road signs, which you and I see every day. And last Sunday, we talked about the height, width, restriction notice sign. And I spoke about the need which all of us have to make a daily examination of conscience each night as a sort of height, width check on ourselves. This week, I'm talking about another sign that you sometimes see, namely dead end. Now, signs are there to advise, to warn. They warn drivers of some restriction lying ahead. Dead end tells a motorist that sooner or later he will be unable to proceed any further. The sign itself isn't the dead end. I mean, the driver can continue on his way if he wants to. Dead end doesn't work by itself. It needs attention and cooperation from the driver. They warn that if you proceed further, you are in for a disappointment. I can remember once driving through the French countryside looking for the ruins of some Benedictine abbey or other. And I followed the signs to such and such a village and then took the designated turns, or so I thought, but the road became more and more like a grass track until eventually it petered out at a gate where some cows chewed their cud and stared at me. Now, of course, I'd made a wrong turn. And the temptation would be to blame the local authorities for poor signage, but it was more likely poor map reading on my part. Whatever the cause, I was getting no further toward my destination. And the only sensible thing was to turn around and go back the way I'd come until the point where I thought I'd gone wrong. And after that, it was easy. I saw those wonderful ruins and I was satisfied, and whose fault it was didn't matter. Now, the dead end sign. Getting stuck in a cul-de-sac isn't so much a matter of a wrong turn. Very often it's the matter of not turning, but rather going straight ahead down a road that leads nowhere. And this is a parable about what happens in many people's lives. They haven't really turned down the wrong road, but rather they've gone straight ahead. Whatever their feelings or emotions or preferences have led them. And they've ignored all the signs that God has placed there to warn them about going down a dead end. And the results are predictable. Disappointment, frustration, anger, often leading to despair. And of course, it's very easy to see why people make decisions based on emotion and feeling and preferences. It's a very natural thing to do. My children do it all the time. And it looks so very straightforward when everyone around us is following their feelings and their emotions and their preferences. 9 out of 10 people can't be wrong, we say. But of course, they can be wrong, and they often are wrong. For the way of Christ, the only way that leads to life everlasting, isn't just another way. It is a completely different sort of way. In the words of an old hymn, we are traveling home to God the way our fathers trod. If we're doing that, then we are attracting the ridicule and the hostility from our contemporaries who feel that we are criticizing their lifestyle. And guess what? If you are like the man in this morning's gospel, if you say, "Lord, I believe," and you worship, you are, in fact, critiquing the wider society. To believe and to worship is a profoundly countercultural, subversive, and revolutionary thing. And if we believe our Lord's claim that He is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by Him, then we are in fact saying that all of those who make their decisions based on emotion or feeling or preferences or the vacillations of the world or opinion polls, we're saying to them, look, friend, you are going the wrong way. All of the things that you think are ends in life are in fact not. They are cul-de-sacs, culminating in a dead end when our earthly lives are over. Now, from their standpoint, we are the ones going down the no-through road, the dead end, the cul-de-sac. When we part company with them every Sunday morning, for instance, on the main road of life and detour into a church, it looks as if we're going into something that looks like a terminal, from the Latin for ending place. And it's occurred to me more than once that to the non-believer, a church building looks very much like a dead end. You come in at one end, and then there's this hard wall facing you at the end of the alley. And in that sort of distorted view, church is some half-dead people doing some very boring things inside. But for us, we know that the church is God's way of opening up the wall that is between us and Him. The church is the gate of heaven, the door that opens to reveal that we've changed modes of being and perceiving, and we can see an entirely new dimension called the sacred or the holy or the numinous or the supernatural. And there's nothing at all boring about that. I wonder if you've thought about the fact that when we gather to celebrate the Eucharist on Sunday, we are in a very real way in the antechamber of heaven. The veil between earth and heaven is made thin, and Christ Himself leaps down off His heavenly throne to His altar throne. And He becomes, in the words of the collect, the bread which gives life to the world. And in the Christian view, you and your fellow worshipers are not half dead, but really the only ones who are alive. Because in Holy Communion, God lives in us and we in Him. We will never hunger, never thirst, for He fills the deepest desire of every human being, which is, of course, God. So when we come to Mass on Sundays, rather than going down a dead end, we are saying no to the dead end. We are even now standing on the Mount of Transfiguration with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven. And then one day, God will draw those curtains aside, and the wall of this world will open up, and we shall enter the real world, where Christ is present in all of His glory. And like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, we can say, "Master, it is wonderful for us to be here." Next week, I'm going to talk about the sign, "Do not enter."